Opalite. That's from the new album. And you were at a special screening of what?
Would you like to tell me, would you like me to tell you what Opalite means? Because I could probably answer, do a mastermind.
I think she explained it on Graham Norton.
Yeah, so I went, I took my kids to see the first night of the Taylor Swift movie last Friday. Now, it's, I don't think it's ever been done before. It was basically a film which involved her showing the video of the first single from the album, right, first time it was shown. And then she talks people through the other songs, the other 11 songs, I think it is, on the album. She gives a brief introduction saying, well, this song is about this. And then they'd play the song and the lyrics would appear in subtitles on the screen. But there was no videos accompanying the rest of the songs.
Oh, so what were the visuals then?
The visuals were stills from the opening video kind of floating around the screen. And then there'd be the lyrics. So she'd say, OK, this next song is called Opalite. And what it's about is taking control of your own destiny.
Where was she sitting?
She was sitting in a chair,
okay,
addressing the camera.
Yes, yes, straight down.
Yeah, and then she would disappear. The visuals would come up of the stills, right, from the first video,
okay,
plus the lyrics.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like,
did people pay to go to screens?
This is a Taylor Swift thing. Of course people paid, and they paid handsomely for it.
Right.
And the interesting thing for me was, I think it was on in 8,000 cinemas around the world,
right,
at the same time. So at 3 p.m. in New York, 8 p.m. in Dublin.
Simulcast.
Exactly.
Whatever,
yeah. So, and it was only on for Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So I think that the essence of it was, at 8 p.m. on Friday night, there was 4 million Taylor Swift fans and me watching her explain what the album meant. And I have to say, I am a Taylor Swift fan as well. I think she's extremely talented and I think some of her songs are excellent. But so it created this real sense of community and the people in the cinema absolutely loved it.
And I have
to say, it was quite entertaining because the family-friendly lyrics were on the screen and were on the songs.
Ah.
Whereas, like, a lot of the people who had already heard the album, The Life of a Showgirl, would have known.
There's some explicit lyrics, yes.
There's some explicit lyrics in it. And I have to say, I mean, I left the cinema feeling like the album, The Life of a Showgirl, had been in my world for like a decade. Because I knew the songs well by that point. I knew what the lyrics were. I knew what they meant. I knew what why they'd been written. I think there's albums from artists that I've loved all my life that I don't know that much about.
So it wasn't a cynical exercise in making more money. It was an opportunity for her fans to share this moment with her.
Oh, I'd say it was both. But like, fair play to her. Listen, I'm not going to knock her for making that money. Yeah. And, fair play to her, I think.
Yeah.
And do you know what I can? I just think it's really good, right? And this might appeal to you as well. She has brought back the value of the album. Because when you and I were growing up, a band releasing an album or an artist releasing an album was a massive deal.
Yeah.
And you'd wait for it and you'd listen to it and you'd pore over the sleeve notes and you'd read it obsessively. But in the age of streaming, that doesn't happen anymore. And Taylor Swift almost single-handedly has made that happen again. Yeah. And if for no other reason, I think it should be kudos to her.
Right. These came into pricewatch.rte.ie. Connor, I've just come back from southern Italy, where I was astounded by the prices of restaurants when compared to the prices at home. Coffee and croissant was a combined total of €4. A large pizza was around €6. And obviously the wine is a whole lot cheaper too. How is it we always end up paying more in this country?
This is a perennial problem that an awful lot of people have. And I have to say, I don't know if it's helpful to draw these price comparisons.
Why not?
Well,
we're all in the EU together.
We are all in the EU together. But like, and sometimes you see it, and I found myself doing it as well. If you go to Portugal, right? If you go to Portugal, if you go to the Algarve, and if you're there and you go into a coffee shop, you'll pay €1.50 for a cup of coffee, and you'll pay 70 cents for one of those pastel de nata little custard tarts, and you're thinking, how could that have just cost me €2.20 when the coffee alone in Dublin would cost me €4 or €4.50 or €4.80 or whatever it might be? And similarly, when you go to Italy and you go and you spend €6 on your pizza or €4 on your croissant and your coffee and all the rest, like, there's a very different standard of living and there's a very different cost base. So just for the listeners, for peace of mind, I went and I looked at some things, right? How much things cost in Naples. So, funnily enough, groceries are broadly speaking the same price. So you want to buy a loaf of bread, you want to buy butter, you want to buy whatever it might be, roughly the same price in both Naples and in Ireland. But then if you move into things like rent, at the average cost of a one bedroom apartment in Naples, in the city centre of Naples, is €1,000. In Dublin, it's €2,100.
Right.
If you move to the outskirts of Naples, the average cost of an apartment is €600 per month for a one-bedroom apartment. It's an awful lot more expensive in every part of Ireland. That's one thing. In terms of wages, an Irish person, the average wage in Ireland is around €3,500 a month.
Right.
The average wage in Naples is around €1,500
okay, so
a month.
It's half, right, or less than half. Yeah.
But another key point there is, because I looked it up, in Ireland we have the minimum wage, which I think is just over €14, and there's going to be talk of it increasing again in the budget, or certainly in the weeks and months ahead. There is no minimum wage in Italy, and a lot of the wages are determined by collective bargaining. But a typical person, a typical waiter or waitress in a restaurant working 40 hours a week in Naples will probably earn around €1,100 or €1,200 a month, which is substantially less than somebody working 40 hours a week on the minimum wage in the Republic of Ireland will earn. Then you have something like the VAT rate, which is 10% for restaurants and hospitality in Naples compared to 13% in Ireland. Now, obviously, it's coming down to 9% tomorrow, or at least the announcement will be made tomorrow. And that's a long kind of way of saying that the cost base in the Republic of Ireland
is
simply
saying.
Too high. So I think when you do the black and white comparisons and say, why is that croissant and coffee so much cheaper than it is in Ireland? That's why. It's because all of the other things are driving up the costs. And I think what we would need to do in this country to address that is not say, OK, well, restaurant A is ripping us off. And don't get me wrong, there are some restaurants out there, and they know who they are, who are clearly ripping off their customers. But there are also an awful lot of restaurants who are providing excellent value for money and who are really struggling to keep the doors open and the lights on. So I don't think we should be slagging them all off and saying every one of them should be tarred with the same brush, because that's not fair. I think they do need our support. I also think we do need to accept the fact that the price comparisons between here and Naples, or here and Lisbon, or here and Bangkok, or wherever it might be, they're not useful as part of the debate, because you need to look at the whole holistic picture and say, well, hang on a second, there's lots of things going on here.
I suppose the good news, little bit of good news, is that you've good bang for your buck when you're on holidays.
Yeah, that is good news. But, you know, and I think that's one of the big draws that people have when we go to Southern Europe, you know. But the other thing that kills me, by the way, is like we talk about, you know, that things are cheaper there. But like one of the things that's always struck me about Southern Europe is their healthcare system seems to be just so much better than ours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't we have that? Lord knows we're paying through the nose for it.
Right. I don't know if that's going to appease anybody, but thanks for that. Connor, I attended the Robbie Williams concert at Croke Park on Saturday, 23rd of August. As a ticket holder for Pitch Level, the only drinks available were water sold in plastic bottles and Rockshore lager sold either from taps or from cans. For the water and the canned lager, drinks crews poured the drink into a plastic cup and kept the cans and the bottles. That's important. But the customers were charged the 15-cent DRS fee, which we are unable to reclaim. How is it fair to charge customers a deposit they have no way to reclaim? Obviously, this is highly profitable for Croke Park, the promoters, MCD, or the drinks vendors, depending on who reclaims the DRS deposits.
Well, I've actually spoken to the people from the return scheme about this. And just by way of context, we talked about the return scheme, the deposit return scheme, many, many times on the show. It started in February of last year. And I think this month it will mark the 2 billionth container processed. So it's clearly working on that level. 2 billion containers, be it plastic bottles or aluminium cans, have gone through the system. As a result, and this isn't them saying it, this is like, you know, lots of environmental groups, the beaches are cleaner, our streets are cleaner. You know, our world is probably a better place for the existence of the scheme. Whether or not you like having to go into the shops and putting your bottles into the machines or whatever.
It's a success.
It has been a success. And they've reached a certain level of 70, I think 77% of items are now being recycled through the scheme. So it's all really good. Okay.
Right.
There is a question about this, because if you buy your bottle in Croke Park or in the Aviva or at an Electric Picnic or wherever it might be, there isn't a facility to get the refund.
Yeah.
Yet you're paying the deposit. I'm surprised to hear this listener say that the drinks were decanted into glasses and that the Croke Park or whoever it was, the bar staff, kept the bottles. Because what the return scheme people say to me is that normally if the bottles are decanted into glasses and you're handed the glass, you shouldn't be paying the deposit, because the company can get that money back, because they get the money back, the bar gets the money back. what Return also say is that there's no facility to get the refund on site. There's an awful lot of charity organisations that have set up collection points at those venues so you can donate your bottles to the charity, and that way the money goes to a good cause.
So the big question, I suppose, that people are shouting at the radio is, where does the money go? Because say, for example, Croke Park, 80,000, 160,000 people, 160 sales, say two per person, and maybe that's too generous. That's €24,000.
That's very good maths.
No, I did it. I did it before we went on air.
Yeah, so if everybody was in that scenario and Croke Park or any stadium was keeping the money, well, then the money would be going directly to Croke Park or the bar or whatever it might be, which would not too shabby. But what the Return people say is should be happening is that if the bottle is being decanted, well, then there should be no 15-cent charge. And I think people have a right to question that. If they are being charged the 15-cent, but they're not being given the plastic bottle or the can, that's a problem.
Should we put in a question to Croke Park and see what's happening?
I mean, certainly what the Return people say is that's not what is happening.
Okay.
It might be worth following it up with the venues, because it wouldn't just be Croke Park. I would imagine it would be all venues.
My understanding
is that if you're given the can or if you're given a plastic bottle on site, you pay the deposit. If the plastic bottle is decanted into a plastic cup, you don't pay the deposit. And that's how the rules should be implemented. If they're not being implemented like that, I think there's questions to be answered.
Okay, pricewatch@rte.ie if you have more information on that. Conor, thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week.